Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church of North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 216. It's July 14, 2015. Well, does the Bible talk about weight loss? Surprisingly, yes, in my opinion. Actually, the Bible is more clear than you might suspect on this sensitive issue. Do you remember Galatians 5? I think the whole answer is contained in that passage where Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so you may not do the things that you please, that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these." I think we can put gluttony in there, can't we? "Of which I forewarn you," Paul says, "just as I have forewarned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." I could stop right there. Those who walk in the Spirit are not going to let their bodies control them. They won't obey their bodies. Their bodies will obey them. One thing we've often missed in this conversation is the fact that control, when you're manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, control comes from you. Self. Not directly from God, only indirectly. We're hoping for those moments, I guess, when God himself will just overwhelm us and cause us never to eat again or not to eat so much or to stay away from snacks. Well, I'm sure that happens from time to time. God does show up in that very visible way sometime. But that's not the promise, and that's not the ongoing Christian experience. The product of the Holy Spirit is an ability inside of you, within your desire system, your will, your strength, to say no to that cookie and that cake and that junk drink and that third helping. Self-control. God controls my heart. He gives me the ability to control myself, my fleshly urges, including all those things that are related to my physical body. I am in charge because God's in charge. It's not a contradiction in terms. It's a very profound and important truth that we've ignored. Perhaps it's helpful to go behind Paul, or beyond Paul, to Jesus in his famous vine and branches message of John 15, to see it more clearly. Jesus said, "Abide, live, stay in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it stays in the vine, you can't either, unless you abide in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Because without me, you can't do anything. If anyone doesn't stay in me, he's thrown as a branch away and he dries up. People gather them and cast them into the fire. Those branches are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you want. It'll be done for you. And so we pray. We pray. There's your diet plan, number one. I'm not playing with this now. I'm not just trying to sound spiritual. That's the truth. You do a diet plan without prayer, Christian, you're not going to make it. We pray. Always. We're in prayer. Longer periods of time as the years go by. More and more time with him. Not less and less. Not perfunctory prayers at the dinner table. We're thanking God for the feast that you're about to devour. But you pray long time with God, with Jesus, and you won't want all that feast. You'll still be thanking him that he's providing. More and more of your life is going to be consumed by Jesus. He's the consumer. You're not. He in us, we in him. Slowly, slowly through the years, we are formed into his image. We receive his desires. We pray for those desires to come to pass, including self-control. So he imparts to us this desire because it's his desire too. Be honest now. Do you see a fat Jesus as you imagine him in his body when he was here? You ever imagined a fat one? Have any of the great artists through the years ever depicted Jesus as overweight? Do you see him sitting at a table sheepishly grabbing at junk foods and saying the silly things we say about them? I just can't help myself when I'm around this kind of dessert. Oh man, I just gotta have... You fill in the blank. Do you ever imagine him being like that? Do you see him gorging himself at a feast and then joking, well, I guess I'll start my diet tomorrow? I know he hung around people like that, people like us. But do you truly believe he had no self-control when the table was piled with food? Don't you believe he knew how to deal with plenty? He wants us to look and act like him eventually, not because he's mesmerized us and turned us into machines. He just overwhelms us and we can't possibly yield to any temptation. No. Eventually, it's because we want to. His Spirit's in us and his Spirit's united with our spirit, and we're wanting to look like him and act like him and have that self-control to make it all happen. His servant Paul, again, thought along these lines in 1 Corinthians 9. Don't you know that those people who are running in a race, everybody's running, but only one gets to have the prize? So you run in such a way that you may win. I'm still in 1 Corinthians 9. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control. Talked about the Roman games or the Olympics. Exercises self-control in everything. They do this so that they'll receive a perishable wreath. It's nothing. A gold medal. Big deal. We're going to receive, if we have self-control, is the implication, an imperishable award. And so I run in such a way. And not without aim. I'm not just running around everywhere. I box like this. I'm not just beating the air. I'm very intentional about what I do. I'm disciplining my body every day. I'm making it my slave, Paul says, so that after I have preached to other people, I myself will not be disqualified from the race. So Are these the words of an overweight man? Do you see Paul is a big fat guy too? Was this man a shameless slave to his own passions? Could he say no to all the fine foods that were around him in Greece and Syria and Asia, wherever he went? The answers are clear. Paul was in a competition. He was running against his own inner longings. We're all in that race. Temptation was constant with him, as with us. The only way he knew to fight it off was to use the gift that he had been given called self-control. Now, I call it a gift. I know you're saying fruit, not gift. Don't talk about gifts of the Spirit today, oh God. No. It's a gift because the Holy Spirit himself is a gift. You didn't earn the Holy Spirit, did you? God gave you the Holy Spirit. We like to distinguish between fruit and gift, but everything that comes from God is a gift. So use your gift. Use the Holy Spirit and his productions in your life to do what needs to be done. If Paul had not been able to control his body, how could he have preached to other people about how wonderful this Jesus is? Oh, he's so powerful. He'll change your life, blah, blah, blah. How could he say stuff if he couldn't sit down and just eat a normal meal? I trust my readers, hearers, are getting both sides of this story. I'm not talking about human-style self-discipline, and Paul wasn't either. Talking about friendship with Jesus that is so real that Jesus imparts to us the powers of his own spirit, his own life, who in turn gives us the ability, self, to do whatever needs to be done. This is a Jesus thing, this weight loss thing. Now, I want to tell you my own personal plan, but I've got to put some disclaimers up right away. I'm retired. I understand. I don't burn as much energy as I did before, because I don't need to. But I didn't just sit for all these weeks that I was doing this. I didn't just sit somewhere. And I've gone through this before. I have to say that I went away from it a while. I never got as big as I was at one time. And I was never big. I was only probably 20-some pounds over at one point. I didn't like that. I knew that was dangerous. I have a medical condition that would have made that very dangerous for me. But I used this same plan then, gradually started coming out of it recently, and decided to do it again. This is my plan. It's not your plan. You can't have my plan. It was conceived after prayer. You know, things that just came into my mind. This is what I will do. But I want to share it with you as a model, as a possible model, as to how God can work. You hang out with Jesus long enough, you'll start getting dissatisfied with the things that you're doing and not doing. I seem to lose it around desserts, you know, and junk and larger servings and more servings. And it just goes, you know, after a while, enough is enough. So years ago, many years ago, I found in a health club what my ideal weight should be. You might want to check that out so you have some kind of goal to work towards, so you'll know when you got there. There's little exams they will give you, sometimes free, sometimes not. Your doctors might do this, where they pinch this and test that, and they ask you questions and give you your perfect number, at least a range, of a 5-pound range maybe. Maybe you already know this number. Maybe you've already come up with your own number in a different way, and you just salivate every time it comes to mind. Oh, I want to do this so bad, until you sit down at the table. But with Jesus, those wishes, those desires that you really have deep inside of you, they can become realities. It's not easy. It's not a magic wand thing. So I brought that number before the Lord. I began praying for grace. There's the key right there. Get it? Grace. God, I can't do this. I can't do this. In fact, truth be told, Lord, most of me doesn't want to do this. I don't want to go through this, Lord. Help me want it more. and so on. It's all about the want to. Once you want to, you'll do it with him. Without him, you can't do anything. We already established that. So one day, I just did it. I chose a bowl. It was a medium-sized cereal bowl for me. Now, again, if you're eating 5 plates of food every time you sit down, then go down to 4 or 3. You know, just cut it back. That's all I'm saying. This medium-sized cereal bowl was less than I used even in the morning for cereal. But I decided I'd fill it up 3 times every day, 3 meals every day with this medium-sized cereal bowl. That was going to be my measure. And I'd fill it up with light, healthy food for the most part. Now, I'm not going to go into all the details about what is healthy. You know what's healthy. I think every American really knows what's healthy. But if you don't, you go online and look for healthy food. It's everywhere. It's pretty simple, pretty obvious. You, as I said, probably already know it, but you've ignored it like I have. Fill it up 3 times a day, and that's it. That's all you eat. No snacks in between. You're going to eat at 8 in the morning, 12 at noon, 4 in the afternoon. That's what I did anyway. I set every 4 hours, so I didn't really starve during the day. But I was kind of weak, okay, until the numbers began to come down, and they did. They eventually will. And it wasn't fun. Suddenly there were 2 want-tos struggling inside of me. My body was saying, how could you do this to me? What a stupid idea. Well, you're just a legalistic religionist. You're under the law. You're an idiot. You're going to kill me. I won't survive. And other things. But that was my body talking then. I'm the one in charge now. And I was saying, shut up, body. You're not in charge anymore. And thank you, Lord. More grace, please. More grace. Help. I know you're happy with this, Lord, but God help. See me through this to the end. There's the balance. You look both ways. Grace from God, but commands to the body. Your body cannot control you anymore. It's not going to tell you what to do. I suppose that if there are not constantly 2 voices inside of us pulling us apart, we're not really walking in and growing in the Spirit of God. For too long, Western Christians have been listening only to that one voice in regards to diet because you watch television too much. And the commercials get to you. You drive down the street and the commercials, the billboards get to you. It's everywhere, this food thing. We call it the spirit of food. I don't call it that. I'm sure there are people who do. For too long, Western Christians have been listening only to this one voice, and the ultimate conclusion seems to have become this. Oh, it's impossible. Forget it. Live and let live. Don't hurt yourself. Come on. What's the point? God loves me as I am. Christ has set me free from bondage. I'm a free man. Okay, go with all of that if you want. But I believe you're being lied to. I strongly recommend you search his heart, your heart, to see if there's a muffled voice in there trying to tell you something better that you've heard than you've heard in the largely lukewarm Church of America. And church, you know what? Those church suppers, every time we go to church now, we've got to eat. People really struggling to overcome, and they go to church, and there it is. And nobody's thinking health food at your church. They're trying to please everybody, knowing that if they bring their health food, people either laugh at them or just ignore their food. Come on, church. You're the culprit in many cases. You've got to be the one. I'm talking about the official church. You've got to be the one to do something about this. If you don't get your own breakthrough, if you do get your own breakthrough on this, if you work through this and God really gives you something, would you share it with us? Contact me, tell me what your plan turns out to be, and I will share it with our listening audience, if you like, if you want me to. Amen. Well, that's all I have for this time. Tomorrow, we'll start the day tomorrow with Leonard Ravenhill as he shares with us about revival praying. I'm just really loving his book and loving the kind of things that he does. Galatians 5:16 is where we began today. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh.